Hey, what's going on? A little sneak show. It is March 9th, 2023. Norm, along with Mike, talking about the Toronto Maple Leafs. Hey, they came from behind to beat the Devils in New Jersey 4-3. That environment, Mike, looks a lot with the lighting and the boards like Scotiabank Arena. I was confused there, off kilter, a little bit disorientated, but I got it figured out. And so did the Maple Leafs. Here's the thing about this crew. They don't make it easy on themselves. And the question is, sure, this team can get by and come from behind and squeak things out and make you believe, but can this team truly dominate where night in and night out, most of the time, their opponents will lose and say the disparity was just too great to overcome? That's the question, because I'd like to know before we get into the playoffs.
Hey, Norm. Well, first of all, your sort of disorientation regarding the Rock, it's tougher to tell if you don't look at the schedule where the game is, because now with the boards where they put the ads on the board,
right,
you're watching TSN, they're putting Leaf-related ads or Canadian-related ads. So mm-hmm. you go to the center of the ice and you see the big New Jersey Devil emblem,
mm-hmm.
you don't know where it is. I was watching Buffalo and the Islanders a couple nights ago, and I didn't know until about 15 minutes into what I was watching that the game was on Long Island. So, but as for the Leafs, they make things difficult on themselves, and they make things difficult on their fan base, because I think, you know, that's why I always joke that there's a run on nitroglycerin pills at all the time when they play, because yeah. they never seem to be able to do things easy. Mm-hmm. And the game in New Jersey where they take a lead, you know, after being outplayed, it was the exact opposite of the Vancouver game in the sense that they got completely outplayed and outshot in the first period, whereas they outplayed and outshot the Canucks on Saturday. But they didn't get the first goal in Vancouver. They did get the first goal in New Jersey. Then New Jersey tied it. Then they got
right.
the shorthanded goal. It was a back and forth game, but losing 3-2 in the third period, late in the third period, they get the tying goal from Bunting and then the power play goal from Matthews to get the victory. They cannot make things easy on themselves. Maybe it gets better as we get closer to the playoffs, but I'm fairly certain that it's going to be heart attack time in the postseason.
This is the Convo, Norm, along with Mike. It is a sneak show on Thursday. We're going to do our Sunday spectacular for sure, 110%. This is just going to be a quick one. We're trying out some new things, so we thought we would put together some content for you. The Leafs lack assertiveness, Mike, and that assertiveness is generally fueled by confidence.
Mm-hmm.
The Leafs don't strike me as a confident bunch. Confidence meaning go out, let's kick the shit out of our opponents. We know we're better than them. If we lose, it's going to be by a squibbly little goal or a, you know, seeing eye a puck making it through somebody's legs. To me, this team does not exude confidence. And that's the big issue. The talent is there. We all know it. Metrically, on paper, sure. And yeah, they can get things done and they're better than most teams barely on most nights, but this team just does not present a confidence that gives me confidence that this team is ready to get into the playoffs and go to work.
I think they're confident in the sense that, you know, they realize their talent and they realize their ability, but they don't play a confidence sort of game.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's a difference. I mean, I think, you know, at certain points in the game, they'll have a giveaway, they'll have a situation and they need to be bailed out. I mean, I went on and on Wednesday in my blog about, you know, my favorite defenseman, Justin Hall, and, you know, took some flack from it, but I don't care. Justin Hall was on the ice for all three New Jersey goals.
Right.
Make a great pass on the tying goal. On Bunting's tying goal, but, you know, one good play does not outweigh two or three bad plays. And he, you know, just is symptomatic of this team. You know, he can do certain good things, but the positives don't outweigh the negatives. And like when the playoffs come around, I sincerely hope that he's the extra the defenseman eating popcorn in the press box. But knowing Sheldon Keefe and his confidence in Justin Hall and his belief in Justin Hall, he'll be in the lineup. And it's a question of whether the Leafs can overcome the mistakes that he always makes.
Mike, has Sheldon Keefe been confronted on this devotion to Justin Hall?
I don't think he had much choice previously. You know, he had to play him because the options in terms of extra defenders were not fortuitous. Now you have Luke Shen. Luke Shen wasn't available on Tuesday because he was back in Vancouver with his wife, who's expecting. I'm not sure if she had the baby yet, but I would assume he's going to be back on Saturday. And, you know, Keefe now has 9 NHL defensemen, and he's going to mix in Timmins, and he's going to mix in Shen, and he's going to mix in Erik Gustafsson because he wants them to be ready before the playoffs. But honestly, if they go with 12 forwards and 6 defensemen in game 1 against Tampa, I would hope that Justin Hall is not one of the 6. But if I had to bet money, it's better than even money. He's going to be one of the 6. You know, there's no sense that you traded for Luke Shen if you don't play him against a physical Tampa team. He needs to be in there, and Justin Hall needs to be out of there.
You're expecting Luke Shen maybe not to be prominent, but to be present against Tampa? You'd have to think Kyle Dubas would want that. He acquired him for that. Is Sheldon Keefe on board with that? And could that potentially cause some internal strife when the cameras aren't on between the brass upstairs and the guy pulling the strings behind the bench?
I don't think there'll be an internal strife. I think, you know, they'll be on the same page. But what may end up happening is what happened in a couple games during this road trip is they may go 11-7. They may believe that having Shen in the lineup as an extra defenseman is more beneficial than having Zach Aston-Reese on the fourth line. Now, I think that poses problems because when a situation like O'Reilly getting hurt in Vancouver, then they're playing 10 forwards, and then you basically have 3 lines and an extra forward, and you're mixing and matching or mixed mastering everything. I mean, one injury, one blocked shot, one problem, you know, really shortens what you have. And if Tampa is going with 12 forwards and 6 defensemen against 10 forwards and 7 defensemen, you can't move a defenseman up to forward. So I hope they would go with 12 and 6.
This is the Convo. Norm along with Mike. Like the content, subscribe to the channel. The Leafs Convo has just gone bananas, and it's all because of you, the converts and OGs. Speaking of OGs, Mr. David Haina has his pairings for the playoffs. Real quick on Mr. Haina, he just shows up at my desk at Oak Ridge Ford yesterday. I had an issue with his Broncos Sport. Hopefully got that organized and got repaired, and he's back on the road. But David, I missed you on the way out, man. The next time you're at the dealership, hopefully to do something other than have your car looked at, make sure to stop in, man. That was really, really cool. I wanted to get a picture with you. So we'll certainly do that, especially if you are now based in London. Good to have you. And again, so much respect and love and appreciation for all of your support with the Convo. David Haina going back a long period of time with our project. And we have new converts. Every single show we put out, new subscribers, new people who are commenting. And man, Mike, it's just been professional and cordial. What we wanted to establish all along is really bearing fruit right now. And as I tell my new clients who buy a car for me and I hand the keys over to, it only gets better from here. Dave Haina, Riley Liljegren, he's a big fan of Liljegren, McCabe, Brody, Gio and Shen. How about those pairings to start game 1 against Tampa?
Those are exactly the pairings I would use. And McCabe, Brody have played well since McCabe was acquired from Chicago. They appear to be a good fit in terms of a shutdown matchup pairing with Brody playing on the right side. McCabe can play the right side too, but I think he's better on the left. But that's really, those are really the 3 pairings that I would go with. You know, Shen can be the physical guy on the bottom pairing. He can penalty kill. He can be physical. And as somebody in the chat said, Tampa is the reason they acquired Shen. So
yeah, Bitch Marner said that. Bitch Marcus Daly. We appreciate Marcus's presence here. He's phenomenal. Our friend Danny Grinnick from Connecticut, Mixmaster. We have a highway interchange called the Mixmaster in Connecticut. It's as bad as it sounds. I've got to think that the greater Buffalo region has some amazing freeways and interstates that would resemble something along those lines, Mr. A.
Yes, especially when the weather gets bad. All of them are around the greater Buffalo area are horrendous. But I'll just say this. It's like I said, you think you're going to have, you know, they have 18 games left, 18 or 19 mm-hmm. games left. Yeah, 18. So, I mean, in that 18 games, I think maybe occasionally you're going to see Giordano get some time off, maybe less minutes instead of sitting a game. You're going to see them play seven defensemen at times to give some of these guys some extra work. But I do think that, you know, they're going to at the end, they're going to narrow down to their best six. Mm-hmm. You know, whether that includes Justin Hall or doesn't include Justin Hall, that's going to be up to the coaching staff and the management. But I think at least to start that series, they should go without him. And then if things don't work out, then they can always reevaluate.
So remarkable, 18 games. If the Leafs go 7-11, that's 14 points. That gets into 100 points in the season. Remember back in the day, Mike, the Leafs hitting 100 points was such a big deal. Now the Leafs do it annually. But what does it result in, right? The team is fantastic on paper, but in reality, there's just something else required. It's clearly there is a missing component, and it's not necessarily connected to the abilities of the players. It's what's inside of them, right? And you know, one other thing I was thinking about, and I think a lot of things regarding the Maple Leafs and this project that is called the Leafs Combo. You know, the way the team has kind of evolved, going back to 2014, Morgan Riley coming on board, you have like a stalwart-esque defenseman. And then, you know, big changes with guys like Phil Kessel on the way out. You bring in a brass with the who came in with the intention of building this thing from the ground up. Mm-hmm. You start to develop your minor league system. The Marlies coming into Toronto and becoming a team that is really heavily competing. Austin Matthews comes on board. William Nylander a couple of years before him. Mitch Marner coming in. Kyle Dubas. Mike Babcock. The team wins a Calder Cup. Austin Matthews wins Rookie of the Year. The ascent looked great, and it was on pace. So here we are now. Here we are. Other teams that had the similar ascents and similar paths up had already won cups at this point in where the Maple Leafs are. And the Leafs have been to the playoffs but have not been able to get it out of the first round. There's something more going on here, and there's something missing that is intangible, and that it's beyond talent, because the path up is similar to other organizations that have become dynasties. So what is it? It has to be that intestinal fortitude, that nerve in the players, and they can only develop that nerve with success in the playoffs. But one year after another, coming up against that brick wall that is the first round. I mean, that's demoralizing, Mike. So, again.
Well, I would say the common theme throughout the 6 years of first round or opening round losses has been a lack of finish. I mean, you know, like nobody expected them to beat Washington in 2017. They gave them a good run. And Boston was heavily favored in 2018. But in 2019, when they're up 3-2 and they take the lead in game six, that lack of finish and mm-hmm. the ability of the Bruins to bounce back and take that game and then win game seven going away, mm-hmm. You know, that it showed there. It showed in the bubble against Columbus. I mean, it showed most of all against a bad Montreal team that they were up 3-1 against, and they couldn't end it. And then last year, up 3-2 against Tampa, winning game five and not being able to beat them in game six. And then, you know, right. Nick Paul beats him in game seven. So I think this team is different because unlike some of the years, they did add Nick Foligno who got hurt, but they did add more than just one or two bodies. They added, three Stanley Cup victories in Luke Shen and a Conn Smythe Trophy winner in Ryan O'Reilly. They added Achari. They added Lafferty. They made the additions that I think could be difference makers. Again,
Matt Murray. Don't forget Matt Murray.
Well, I'm talking about at the deadline, but it's going to be up to that core group. It's not, if they get a game-winning overtime goal from Sam Lafferty, great. But more than likely, it's going to be on Riley, Nylander, Marner, Tavares, Matthews, and whoever's in net. And I wrote today about the goaltending situation. And right now, Ilya Samsonov is 17-2-1 at Scotiabank Arena. But on the road, he's a .500 goaltender, and his save percentage is significantly worse, and his goals against is a point goal higher. So depending on health, depending on where the series starts, is it going to be Matt Murray? Is it going to be Ilya Samsonov? I have a feeling it's going to be both of them, that they're going to use both goaltenders in the seven-game series, unlike the six other years. I think they're going to maybe start Samsonov at home and start Murray on the road. We don't know. But I think that this team is different. But in terms of whether they'll win, I'll believe it when I see it.
Again, the road here has not been unconventional, Mike. It's been textbook, blueprint for guys who believe in metrics and building things in a certain way based on data. I mean, they've really come to a point that other successful organizations that have gone on runs and have won have, accomplished to the same degree at this point of the chronology. Unfortunately, the Leafs haven't won anything, right? So you look at the players on the team, the guys who represent a data, those guys are similar to the players who've succeeded, but the people, that's the different story, right? And is Austin Matthews certainly capable? Is he capable of leading a team and taking charge and grabbing his, the collective group by the scruff of the neck and leading them through, jumping over the boards with reckless abandon and going for it? What else does Mitch Marner have to produce besides, being a great playmaker? We all know that William Nylander is a great peripheral game, and he can do some things in tight too. But, when things get claustrophobic and heavy and physical, forget it. That's not his game. Can these guys transform in time? There's a couple of comments here, guys. We're going to get out of here. This was meant to be a test show. We're testing well. Spike 11, the Leafs' best players are mercenaries, not warriors. Maybe he means the guys who kind of come in to finish the job, but who on this team is actually going to get the group to the point where they're capable of finishing the job. And the other thing too, is the cast of characters, including Nylander, Marner, Tavares, Matthews, those guys have not been able to be, fully mercenary like with those kinds of qualities to put a team away. The proof is in the last several playoff series. There was another comment here that I wanted to read from Brad Tindall. Playoff hockey is a horrible experience for the players. It's so nasty and unpleasant. Takes a certain kind of person to thrive in that situation. Make your comment on that, Mr. A, and then give us an update on ROR, and we'll get out of here.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. It's not an easy experience. It's a battle. And you need all 18 skaters and two goaltenders to be pointing in the same in the right direction to win. And last year, I look at that series against Tampa, and that's the team that they're going to play in this playoff. And they came out like gangbusters in game one. They won 5-0. They rolled over the Lightning. They overwhelmed them. The only bad note was the Kyle Clifford suspension. It sort of upset the momentum of the game. But then Tampa responded. Then the Leafs won game three. It was back and forth and back and forth. And they could not seize on that opportunity. They could not maintain that dominance that they had in game one. And that's where you hope that the additions that they made Because, you know, you look at the roster from last year as compared to this year, and this roster is much, much better. So, but in the end, you're playing a team that has won two Stanley Cups and had been to three Stanley Cup finals. It's going to be a challenge. Now, the O'Reilly news, I know everybody was like, oh crap, you know, Foligno got hurt. Now O'Reilly's got hurt. Okay, yes, but it's a broken finger. It's not a complicated injury. It's a four-week recovery. They're 5.5 weeks away from the playoffs as of when he got hurt. So he'll be back. He'll be back before the playoffs, and that's the most important thing. Now, you know, I'm not saying he'll be back at 50% or 60%. It takes, you know, we're talking about a month to heal a broken bone.
I don't think you could keep him out of the lineup if you tried.
Right.
Comes to shove.
Right. But they, you know, one of his main things is winning faceoffs, and, you know, will the broken finger affect him? He's coming back from a broken foot. He's coming back from a broken finger. They need O'Reilly. They need him playing up the middle on the third line. Mm. I mean, the game against New Jersey, Tavares was out. O'Reilly was out. Sam Lafferty was their second line center. They need everybody in the lineup to be able to win against a team that will be favored and a team that is one of the best in the league. So we'll see what happens.
If success is predicated on the entire group being healthy and revving at 100% as a default, then fuck it. You're not going to win, because guaranteed all of these guys won't be there at the finish line, wherever that finish line is. The playoffs is a war of attrition, as you know that, Mike, and there have to be guys ready to step in, not necessarily placeholders, but players who can be effective in roles that they're called upon last minute in, you know, a pressure cooker type of environment where the clock is ticking on you, right? So that's the thing. I'd never really get too geeked up about a player or two being out of the lineup. If it's an entire crew, then yeah, you know, the luck is against you this time. But if somebody's gone, someone else has to step in. And if you thought that your only way to win was with everybody fully healthy, which would be ideal, right? And nearly next to impossible. But if your belief is that you have to have everybody there to somehow eke it out, you're screwed, right? Question in the chat, do you think the Leafs will get by Tampa in the first round? Jack Daniel, do you think the Leafs will get past the first round? Well, Jack Daniel, I will certainly have you at the ready if the Leafs don't get past the first round. But here's my answer to that. On paper, yes. Just like last year. On paper, yes. On paper, yes.
Well, but unfortunately, the game is not played on paper. Mm-hmm. That's that, you know, it's played on a 200x80 sheet of ice. Mm-hmm. And when you're facing
right
Vasilevsky and Hedman and Stamkos and Kucherov and Point and all the guys that they have in the bottom six, it's not something you can say, okay, we match up. No, you have to. Now, this team, I think, will be motivated. Obviously, they've, you know, the core group has lost, Tavares was not there for the first year, but they've lost five of the 6 years that they've made, the consecutive years that they made the playoffs. That core group has lost all five of those series. So, mm-hmm. You know, the motivation is there, the passion is there, whether the ability is there and it can be converted into positivity and goals and saves, who knows? We'll see.
Right. Do you believe, Mike, in a team wanting it more and acting, playing, facilitating accordingly? Wow. Can a team again, when you get into a game seven and you lose 1-0, is that just a bounce? But or can yeah. Guys like Marner and Nylander and Matthews and Tavares, just because they should be, you know, at the same talent level as their counterparts and maybe even better, can they want it more? Is that even a thing?
Well, okay, they can want it more, but the thing is that, you know, in a pressure situation, you know, the players that are successful, you know, they have no pulse. You know, their heart is going pitter pat, but they're able to be cool at the time of high pressure. And right. One of the things I think this team, you know, I mean, we know that Marner and Matthews did not play well against Montreal. Matthews was shut down by Philippe Deneau, and right. Marner did not. But they played better last year. They just couldn't get the offense at the time that they needed, and they were stopped by a superior goaltender in Vasilevskiy. I think this team can come through.
Right.
It's just a question of will they come through.
Yeah, they have to get over the boards and go to work, go to town, and let the opposition be known, in Tampa in this case, that they're coming for them, and you know, kind of flip the script a little bit, right? Change the psychological advantage. It's like, yeah, you know, we're up against it, but we've been snake bitten and we've blown some chances, but this is our year. If you don't think so, just fucking watch us. OG's Converts, thanks so much for being here. Mike's got all kinds of great content at hockeybuzz.com. He just did a piece on the Leafs goaltending situation, which he and I don't talk a lot about in this setting, but we certainly will get at to it as we build up our, you know, our content agenda, getting closer to the playoffs. 18 games out now. It's Edmonton next. I think the Leafs Connor Mack and the crew a little something, Zach Hyman and those guys a little retribution. So let's hope that is the case. Don't forget, we're around Sunday morning for the spectacular. Tell your friends about us. Let's keep the subs coming in. Let's get up to 3,500 subs. We should have plenty more by now, but you know what? I'm glad with everybody who is on board, because we're a nice, tight-knit, small community. We grow every day, but we grow the right way, and it certainly means a lot to me, and I know it does to Mike too. Mike, unless you have something else to say, I'm just going to shut this thing down.
No, I was just going to say I've had 3,500 subs in my life, but they've been submarine sandwiches.
I was going to call you someone, but that would have been really wrong. So let's just leave it at that. OG's Converts, enjoy the content. We'll see you Sunday.